AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Cam Stewart with your Fantasy Sports Radio update. The NHL trade line just ended. Usually a bit overrated, but some big moves moving late here. Las Vegas going all in. The Golden Knights have acquired forward Mark Stone from the Ottawa Senators. Stone also agreeing to an extension with his new team in Vegas. Heading back to the Sens, defensive prospect Eric Branson, forward Oscar Lindberg in a second rounder. Branson was a 15th overall pick by the Knights in 2017 and ranked one of the best defensive prospects in hockey. Stone has 62 points in 59 games this year. This just in, the Predators have picked up winger Wayne Simmonds from the Philadelphia Flyers. We talked about him for right winger Ryan Hartman in a conditional fourth round pick. The Minnesota Wild dealing Michael Granlund to Nashville for Kevin Fiala. So Nashville very busy. The Jets adding a nice piece today. More moves from the Rangers. Winnipeg picking up Kevin Hayes from the Rangers for a first round pick in this year's drafts. Brendan Lemieux and a conditional pick. Hayes solid, 41 points in 51 games with the Broadway Blue Shirts this year. He spent his entire career in New York City, and the Columbus Blue Jackets very busy. They wheel and deal. The Jackets acquiring New York Ranger blue liner Adam McQuaid for true draft picks. Columbus also picking up Jersey goaltender Keith Kincaid for a fifth round pick. The Blue Jackets have Bobrovsky now, but he is a free agent next year. And remember, these guys also picked up Ryan Dzingel and Matt Duchene a few days ago. So the Blue Jackets loading up, and the Detroit Red Wings have traded Gustav Nyquist to the San Jose Sharks for a second and third round pick. Karl-Anthony Towns says he's happy just to be alive after a scary car accident on Friday. Towns says he was lucky to only have minor injuries after his SUV was rear-ended by a semi-truck on his way to the airport. The 23-year-old two-time All-Star has cleared to play for the Wolves tonight after missing the last two games due to concussion protocol. He's okay and never missed an NBA game prior to the accident. Lines tonight, busy,
Jimmy
9-11 on the board.
Soft.
Yeah, he's soft. The guy's never missed a game. I got hit by a semi-truck. How you doing, Gabe?
By a semi-truck. Suck it up.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, too, for Hayes, I don't know if there's more of a difference, like, from being in New York one day to now you're in Winnipeg.
Yep. Yeah. Good point.
Look, he's in a good hockey situation, right? So that's cool. He's in a good. Nothing against Winnipeg. I know Winnipeg people party and it's a fun town, Winnipeg. But I'm just stating, like, he goes, dude, from like probably getting carted like at the door of MSG. Hey, buddy, where you going? I play here. You know what I mean? Where's your ID? You know, like he goes from that to now, like, man, oh my God, Hayes is at he's at a Burger King. Like, people are gonna know. Oh yeah, I saw him at McDonald's last night.
Yeah,
it's like
Phil
Kessel. He's eating hot dogs. That guy's having a hot dog. Like in Toronto, Phil Kessel, Steve Simmonds, you know, guy, you know, that's an instigator. For some reason, yeah, it was like a media scandal because Phil Kessel like was eating hot dogs. Some hot dog guy said, yeah, he comes here every day, and like somehow
like street meat.
Phil Kessel was a bad guy and. It's unbelievable. He eats hot dogs every day. Like, people don't know what they're in for when they play for a Canadian hockey team.
Excellent point, Gabe. He goes from, like, martinis to pierogies. It's going to be a big difference.
Right, he could get wasted at any bar in New York. No one would know anything.
Exactly.
How many bars are there in Winnipeg? Three?
Yeah, let's just say if Hayes wants to get late, there's going to be a long list of Winnipeg Jets groupies out there. So they'll keep them warm at night. The Yankees have signed outfielder Aaron Hicks, buddy, 7 years, $70 million. That's a big extension. The 29-year-old hitting .249 in 139 games with the Yankees, 27 home runs, 79 RBI. And according to ESPN, God, the story, Gabe, your Dodgers still in the mix for Harper. We've heard this one before. Dodgers say they want a short-term deal. He says long-term. They're talking. Hey, Middleton, the GM of the Phillies,
just
flew in to meet Harper over the weekend. Exactly. I'm so sick and tired of this crap. Harper, a six-time All-Star, 2015 MVP, 34 home runs, 100 RBI. Buddy, you've already turned down multiple $300 million deals. Just signed somewhere. And the NFL now looking into the solicitation of prostitution accusation against Robert Kraft. A new NFL statement on allegations of prostitution say the league is, quote-unquote, seeking a fully understanding of the facts while not interfering with the ongoing investigation. The state attorney just minutes ago saying Kraft visited a spa not once but twice before the AFC Championship game. More to come there. And Kyler Murray can't get any taller, but he's beefing up, Morenzi, putting on 16 pounds. He's up to 206. His playing weight this year for Oklahoma, 190. So he wants to get a little bit thicker. And remember this, no quarterback under 6 feet has ever been taken in the first round of the NFL draft. Well, that's going to change.
That'll change.
Yeah, we got a six-pack NHL hockey tonight. We'll go through all the lines. And coming up later on in the show, our boy Ricky Sanders saw the email today. He won a cool $50,000. You want to talk about a winner? He'll give us some DFS NBA picks and a whole lot more. It's Red Heat and Rage. I'm Cam Stewart, hosted by the great Gabriel Morenzi. We're back right after a short break. Take it away, Yang.
Game time decisions.
It's fun.
Your break. That's kind of an intro.
Yeah, it's a good point. After the intro.
Yeah, there was a little bit of a delay, but we apologize. We do employ senior citizens at the Fantasy Sports Network. Yang can't get to the board quite as quick as he used to. Now he's a grandfather.
Yeah,
he's
old like us. Yeah, it's the Midlife Crisis Club.
It's like he used to be called OG. And now it's OG.
Now he's just OG's old guy.
Original Gramps. Yeah, no, original Gramps.
Original Gramps, old guy. Yeah. OG.
All right. So as Cam Stewart stated, NHL trade deadline day is come and gone. And whatever, it's the same as usual. I guess there was quite a few deals.
I'll say this year was I'll give it a better grade. At least big players went with all the crap. Like, it looked stupid for a while, Gabe, but in the last half hour. So Stone's big, Hayes is big, and Simmons is pretty big. Those guys, those are worth talking about.
Simmons got traded for a fourth-round pick.
Yeah, he'll be a good acquisition, though. I think that's a good
–
I like what Nashville's doing. No, those are good
Vegas,
moves.
Actually – Stone, bringing Stone in, that's big time for Las Vegas.
It is.
Already brought Carlson in, so they've basically plucked the two best players away from the Ottawa Senators.
Okay, San Jose, Carlson, San Jose.
They
got a deal, and, but that problem is,
you're California's right, already plucked two guys. Yeah, the Senators just keep getting plucked. Carlson, San Jose, now Stone, Las Vegas. But I wouldn't discount Vegas again in the playoffs. They could go on another run. They'll be tough to play against.
They can, Gabe. That's a huge move for them. Now you got like two solid lines. Stone's a beast. He did all that work with Ottawa. It was a horrible team as well. Yeah, I'm very scared. Like, Winnipeg had to make a move for Hayes, but Vegas, these guys are all in, man. They're not screwing around. They think they could do it again. And the way Fleury played, I wouldn't bet against him. It's going to be a pretty interesting Western Conference, that's for sure.
Sure, Eric Carlson would rather be in Las Vegas, like, to be honest.
What, than San Jose? Yeah, for sure. Nah, San Jose's actually nice. I don't mind San Jose. I was there.
I know, they never win, though. It's like this perpetual,
Yeah, if they don't win this year, they'll have to blow it up. Like, you see it, like Pavelski, Couture, Joe Thornton, you want to talk about OG? He's original Gramps. Like, he's still playing. So, yeah, if they don't go, like, this is the end of San Jose, like, Carlson's the guy, they have a good back end, but their forwards are all old. It's now or never for them.
I've got no clue who's going to win the Stanley Cup. Like, none whatsoever. Like,
Calgary,
no prediction.
Nothing, which is really shocking. Like, I thought they'd go.
Calgary's not winning the cup.
I thought they're going to go deep. I know everyone thinks Tampa Bay's winning the cup. I don't know, man.
Nah, they always find a way not to.
They might choke. Yeah, they're.
I don't trust Tampa like I used to. I've gone down on them a couple of too many times. Actually, that came out wrong, and that's the whole thing with this this Robert Kraft. Is this Robert Kraft thing?
Twice.
Everything's a pun. Like, you can't help it. When you said more to come later, it's like you can't. There's nothing you can say about this. What the hell's this?
I don't know. Are we doing the salsa?
Yo, man, the music sucked all day here. Like, what's going on, Yang?
Yeah? From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
That's better. Now, for the record, Yang doesn't program the music. He just plays it. Although, at request time, or we get upset, then Yang has to start, start taking control. But, yeah, I don't know, man. Bavona's been killing me all day with this stuff. Like, it was like we were on, like a boat cruise or something this morning. The Love Boat. It was like, it was like 70s disco and horns and ska music. I was like, are you trying, like, you know? At some point, I had to step in and say, all right, guys, you need to shut the playlist down. So that's what we have to do right now. See, that's already better. That's already better right now. All right, so I'm Gabriel Morency. Yang, if you check our Gmail, I told you, Mike Blewett, 424.
Gotcha.
You losing your eyesight now, 2 grams?
Yeah. Coming back from the weekend.
You see, now he's like, yeah, thanks.
You're hard on Gramps, Gabe. You just got back there, eh? You're really cracking the whip.
It's the playlist. His playlist has been like all
bad. Well, he keeps telling me. Mike Blewett, he said it twice in our ears, please. Mike Blewett's unavailable. Mike Blewett's unavailable.
Yeah,
I know, because Mike Blewett's coming on at 424.
Gotcha, buddy. Like,
excellent point. Yeah.
I bust the chops a little bit too, buddy.
So I'm just stating.
How was your flight, Gabe?
Man, it's only 4:13. We're 0-2 here with Yang. Like, you gotta have a strong like rest of the hour here, Yang. Our flight could have been worse. No, it was a piss off. Like, they screwed me. They charged me $50 for a bag, bro, for a carry on.
Yeah, I hate that.
Like, I'm starting to hate Airporter. Like, I'm not using them anymore. Like, I don't mind Air Canada. I don't mind like Delta and United and stuff, but Porter, they used to be a good airline. They're just jerks now. They're slow. They're rude. Everything's always delayed. But when it came to delays, the flight before me was canceled to Newark. And so I was like, oh, God, I'm really going to get screwed over here. And so the flight before me was canceled. Like, almost like 80% of the flights were canceled. But mine was only delayed like 30, 40 minutes or something like that. It that was all right, but I got there early, and then getting out of there, Cam, was a nightmare. I don't know what the hell was wrong with Uber this weekend, but
that's the thing. We had
Uber problem Saturday night. Last night, I order an Uber, says it'll be there in 4 minutes, never shows up. It's like 20 minutes later, finally I'm pissed. And it's just spinning and spinning. I'm trying to, like, I'm calling the guy. I'm sending the stupid Uber messages. I don't even know how to cancel. So I split, and then, like, I swear, dude, like 40 minutes after I order an Uber, I get this thing, I'm here. And somehow I get charged $7. I got to take the stupid train in to Penn Station. I had to break a $100 bill. I was a day late, dollar short, Cam, all the way through. I'll put it that way.
No, I'm with you. I'm so pissed, too. This guy got lost in my complex when I went out to meet you. The guy's a stooge. I also do the Uber pool, because I don't want to pay the $50 to get home, so I do the $25 one. Oh, you're stopping up to pick up this idiot down here at a boat, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm so, like, I don't even know how the hell I got home. I don't remember anything. I just checked my phone, missed this, missed that. Like, these guys, I got to be honest with you, these guys never show up on time, and I'm the guy paying. Like, it makes me sick. I'm paying $15, $20 in extra fees for what? For some idiot who can't find a bar? Like, I'm sick and tired of these guys. In the old days, you could write a letter. Right, Gramps? We could write a letter. But now I got to email somebody and say, like, where's my credit? I'm sick and tired of this crap. But you idiots.
I'm getting a message from Mike Blewett. I'm ready to go anytime, but I need to out by 5. Yeah, poor guy, because cool. Yang's blowing his phone up.
Oh, yeah.
He sent me a message earlier saying, yeah, I'll be available at 4:20. So I said, all right. Yeah,
sounds
we got a
good.
Commercial break at 4:24. So, yeah, we just gave Blewett. We gave Blewett the heads up, all right? So everybody's aware. My Mike Blewett, 4:24. So, yeah, this Robert Kraft stuff, Listen, it's a slow sports day. And in fact, this might be the slowest sports weekend ever. Like, it really is. Like, we got lucky after the Super Bowl, where there was a couple of weeks where the NBA had stuff, and I don't know, there was just stuff going on. Where the last couple of days, the weekend, like, you know, look, we were partying all weekend. We were on the road. And normally when I'm off the grid like that, you know, when I log on to a computer after, you know, I was on a computer, but I play some bets over the weekend. But for the most part, I wasn't hitting refresh for every story every 10 minutes like I do during the day. During weekdays, nothing's happened, Cam. I know there's the NHL trade deadline today, but whatever. All right, Mark Stone went to Las Vegas. Like, you know, the biggest story really is this stupid Robert Kraft story that, you know, I'm not a Patriot fan, but we can't make the guy out to be the worst guy in the world because he went to a freaking massage parlor. And now we find out that he actually went on the he went the day before the AFC Conference Championship
game.
Yeah,
what, wasn't too worried about Mahomes and the Chiefs. Very confident.
Well, he was worried. That was the thing. He needed, you know, he was
relaxation. Oh, yeah.
He was stressed out. Yeah. But also, for all we know, he was getting one every big game, for all we know.
His routine.
And it's just a thing. It's like, yeah, the last five Super Bowls, you know what? Now, he went to a massage parlor. Like, maybe people put him up to it. It's sort of like the slump buster, like with Mark Grace. He was taking one for the team.
Personally, I really, whatever you do in your own time, if you want to pay for it, you know, I guess he has the right to do that. But they do have a conduct policy, so if something's going to happen with a player, an owner's got to deal with the same type of thing. It's not really going to matter, though. Probably get community service and a fine.
He'll be,
and he won't do community service. I guess he'll pay the fine.
He's going to have to do the community service. He's going to have to go to counseling. They pour it on thick in Florida.
This
happens in Toronto.
Maybe?
This happens in Toronto. It's like, you know, $100 fine. You know what I mean?
Florida's like different.
Florida, they're on the warpath. But not to make light of it, the thing is, and this is the dark side of this, it seems harmless, but the dark side of it is, I guess, this specific place, the actual women that work there, Cam, actually live there and stuff. Like, they actually slept on the massage tables.
As they're bedding? Like, yeah, see, that's not cool then. That's not like a nice relaxing place like the Bunny Ranch with a bed and furniture and things like that. Yes.
They're actually, you know, they're actually sort of sex slaves in essence.
That's a problem. That's a big problem.
That's the dark side of this, and that's why this place was specifically tagged, right? Because, look, there's a million massage parlors in pretty much every city in North America. And they call them sort of victimless crimes. It's a lot like sort of bookies and sports betting, right? You know, cops have better things to do than to worry about sports betting. Even like when that Tim Donahue, I read that full story of Tim Donahue recently, even the FBI, when he heard, one of the FBI guys heard about sports betting and the NBA, he was like, yeah, whatever. You know what I mean? That was the FBI. Yeah. Like, they were curious. Like, they put a guy on it, et cetera. But it wasn't like, oh, my God. He was like, the only reason they got into it is because they were worried. They thought the Gambinos were making money off of it. So suddenly they were interested in it. So I'm just sort of stating it's one of these crimes that, you know, is kind of looked the other way of. But when you get situations like that where, you know, they're actual victims, right? And yeah, in fact, I hate to put it in these terms, but I'm just speaking truthfully now. This place getting busted was the best thing that could have happened to all the girls who worked there. Like, they're not under arrest. They're like, and in fact, they're gonna get like they're victims type thing. Like I was saying, they're getting visas. They're gonna get money.
To be legit.
And, yeah. Counseling, because basically, you know, we're saving you. Like, basically, they were hostages almost, right? Like, they didn't come here willingly. They get their passports taken away, etc. So this place getting popped, actually, for the women that work there is actually the best thing that could have freaking happened to them. I mean, yeah.
I just find
anything good comes out of this.
I find it odd. The guy's a billionaire, though, and you're going to a place of that ilk, like of that, like, you know what I mean, that low on the totem pole. Wouldn't you want to go to a high-end place? You got to think, Gabe, there's a million of them around. Guess he just didn't think about it or care.
Well, yeah, and he also probably thought he'd get caught at a high-end place, ironically.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, it actually worked out the opposite way.
That's the thing, right?
He went lowbrow and still got caught.
He goes to a high-end place. Some chick knows who he is. He goes to a place. They didn't even speak English where he went.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Brooklyn Nets take on San Antonio. San Antonio just 1-6 on this eight-game road trip. They lost to the Knicks last night.
You going to the game or not cheaper than the one we went to?
I've seen enough NBA basketball for the next week
you
or so.
Yeah. check your bank statement out. Wow.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable how we get
NBA basketball for a little while, but
gotta love it. The dollars were 65 cents, Morenci, and we're paying $400 for a 2-minute celebration. Doesn't seem like good value to me.
No, and it would have been like not too bad if the Orlando Magic didn't screw us right on Friday. Like,
yeah, it didn't help.
I would have had literally like $400 back in the account after that.
Correct.
I'm battling. I'm scratching and clawing right now. One book. Yeah. I checked Bet365 actually when so I was there. I knew my account. I was like, I don't know, maybe I got something, right? So I'm sitting at the airport and I got one of those $20 free rolls, but nice. I think I only won like half of it. So I might, you only keep the stake, so, or the win, right? So I might have like $8 in it, something, Cam, but we'll see if we can build it up this week. Just put it all in for me on Kansas and Kansas State over the number. But let's bring in Mike Blewett. Right now, Mike Blewett steps up. And what's going on, Mike?
What's up, fellas? I hope all is well. Sorry, I missed you last week.
Yeah, well, we were off.
Yeah,
we were off. Yeah. That day, I was wondering about that too. I'm like, well, it feels like we haven't spoken to Mike in a while. Did we forget? But no, we were off last Monday.
Yeah.
So I hate to say it, but like everything you say about Robert Kraft just turns out to be a pun. Like, you know, you really have to think about the words correctly. Not to walk into a cheap one-liner on this, but, you know, part of me, like I was just staying at camp. I mean, when I first heard this story, to be honest, and I don't even like the Patriots, so I'd be the first to pounce, is that I was like, whatever, dude. Like, you know, old man goes to massage parlor. Like, really? We're gonna break the internet over this?
Yeah.
But as the days go on and it sort of settles in for real, you know, the fact is if – it's not just the massage parlor. It's the fact that he went to a massage parlor where these women weren't allowed to leave. You know, they were basically sleeping on the massage tables, which, you know, these places aren't the nicest places. This is not exactly, you know, the Ritz-Carlton or the, you know, the Four Seasons hotels, these places. So they were basically slaves. I mean, for lack of a better term, I don't really know what better word we can use. And if you're someone of Robert Kraft's ilk, you have to be able to do better. And listen, I'm not sitting here. What do they say? You know, those who live in glass houses
shouldn't throw stones. Yeah, that's the expression.
Listen, I've been to some pretty sleazy places in my life. All right, I've been around the world. I've been to sleazy places. And, you know, so I'm not going to sit here, but at the same point in time, and I know this sounds, a lot of people will be like, wow, this is crazy. It's wrong or whatnot. But to me, there's a difference. Like, there's a difference between, you know, somebody doing things because they're making a lot of money and they like their lifestyle. Like, not every, like, adult, like, actress is a victim. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, some of them like doing what they do. They make a lot of money doing it. And they're happy doing it. They enjoy it, etc. You know, I don't have a problem with, like, Jimmy Garoppolo going out with, you know, one of these girls. right? Or
he's allowed to do it when
it's when it's adults, you know, put it this way, consenting adults. But
yes.
When a chick doesn't have a passport and she's not allowed leaving the facility that she works in, that's she's not really a consenting adult. She's sort of being forced into this. Let's just be real.
Yeah.
So Kraft's got to do better. I'm not going to call him out for being a sleaze pig, but come on, dude. Figure it out in a better way than this.
Yeah. Look, I don't disagree with anything that you just said. I think there's been a lot of one-liners. There's been a lot of hashtags, and everybody's had a laugh at Robert Kraft's expense. And if this wasn't the backstory of what's going on, this investigative journalist for the Miami Herald, Julie Brown, writes this article called Perversion of Justice, and it looks into Jeffrey Epstein and how this guy gets a 13-month jail term for basically soliciting prostitution from underage women. And it leads to a sting operation across the state of Florida in which Bob Kraft is ensnared. And to your point, if it's two willing adults, whether you're in the adult film industry or you are engaging in legal prostitution, which happens in very limited areas of this country, but obviously all over the world, then as adults, you don't have to like it. But if it's two willing adults and it's legal, what are you to say about it? Now, in this instance, that's clearly not the case. There are women being trafficked from foreign countries, don't speak the language, to your point, aren't allowed to leave. And Bob Kraft is ensnared in it. You could say, well, what did he know about it? He probably didn't know the specifics of it. But I think, Gabe, you put it aptly, he's got to know better. He's got to do better. I think any reasonable businessman can put two and two together that this probably isn't the type of place that is on the level.
And, you know, that's
excellent point, Mike.
Yeah, that's what he's bringing up. So this Jeffrey Epstein guy, it's pretty crazy right now. I see that basically the prosecutors like basically broke the rules, Mike, and violated the law, actually. Like, he should be going away for a long, 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 long time. But let's be real. The reason he isn't, and honestly, we can't even get into it too much, is because of the other people that he is friends with, dude.
Yeah.
And if, we're not just talking NFL owners. Like,
no, there's a story there, Gabe. Jessica Corder from the LPGA, her boyfriend, who's a big golf guy, he played on tour for a while. He's like, he works for like Titleist now with the Scotty Cameron putters and stuff. He was involved. Like, Jessica Corder is a big deal on the LPGA. He was around. Like, there's a lot of big, heavy hitters.
Well, was at Jupiter, Florida, so I'm sure he lives in Jupiter, Florida.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you know, as far as, you know, the grander scheme of things, that's why he got such a light sentence. You know, because if that guy ever started talking, then it'd be real, real issues. So they were like, all right, you know, just give him a slap on the wrist. I mean, it's just disturbing. I mean,
Gabe, what he's accused of is a life prison sentence, not 13 months.
Yeah, but the people that are also accused, like I said, like, look, Alan Dershowitz is on record as the way he's been accused, right?
Uh-huh.
He's been very vocal about it. And we go down. I mean, Senator Bob Menendez in New Jersey was accused of being on that island. And I'm not saying anything that's not in public form, but there are others that, you know, we're talking serious names here, right? Like, this guy has had some powerful
Chairman
friends.
Citigroup, yeah.
Yeah, as does Robert Kraft, you know. But ultimately, listen, Robert Kraft has been shamed by this. Well, he didn't seem too shamed. He showed up the Oscars last night. So,
yeah. I heard you talking about that this morning. He seems to be, he's going to pay this parking ticket of a fine and move on. The NFL fallout for him is going to be far worse than
that's where the embarrassment will come in.
Yeah,
you're exactly right. That's where the embarrassment will kick in for real, because Roger Goodell doesn't really have a choice here. The only thing is, every time something like, I don't feel bad for Roger Goodell, but because he gets paid to deal with these things, but
you're
he doesn't
taking the words
deal with
out of
well.
My mouth.
Yeah, it's almost like, guys, I just want to be the commissioner of a football league. Stop doing these things.
Think about his.
And then people bitch at me after. Oh, Goodell does this. Say, like, guys, I didn't tell you to hit her. I didn't tell you to go to the massage parlor.
That's why he makes the money, Gabe.
Think about his week, though, guys. He finally crosses the finish line on the Colin Kaepernick deal, and nobody is allowed to talk about it. He's like, finally, I could have put a bow on this thing. I got to deal with a few articles for a few days, but I'm not even allowed to comment. And then wait, take one beat, two beats, boom, Bob Kraft arrested for soliciting prostitution. It's like the craziest week. He was finally done with the Kaepernick thing, and then Bob Kraft opens up another can of worms. I would be of the opinion that you have to start at the Jim Irsay penalty, which is $500,000 and a 6-game suspension. But I would imagine that will be the minimum that he would see. The fine would probably exceed it, which doesn't really matter. But in terms of his history of penalties, I would imagine it'll be greater than Irsay's. And the penalty of games could be larger, but there'll clearly be a lot of pressure on Goodell for that.
Yeah, you know what, though? Yeah. And I only thought of this right now.
Arthur Blank just bought a $100 million boat the other day, too. Like,
I think it was $180 million.
$180 million, exactly.
I mean, $1 million is nothing.
But I wish I would have thought of this earlier, actually, because this is probably the smartest take out of any of this. But from a football perspective, it's just angering. Again, every stupid year, the football world somehow finds a way to motivate the New England Patriots. Right? And it'll be this time, it'll be for our owner.
It's for you.
No, we're going to be playing for our owner this time. No, I'm telling you, they will. They do this the freaking time.
But it's manufactured.
One thing with Robert Kraft is, too.
Anybody else can manufacture their motivations, too.
No, but they're the kings at it.
They
the Patriots.
Are.
Dude,
same.
Dude, they made T-shirts because they were only 3-point favorites once. You know what I mean?
They
look for anything. You know, that's just what they do. But, yeah, just another motivating factor for this football team right now. One thing with Robert Kraft is, too, and I'm not, you know, like I said, I'm not a fan of the Patriots, and he just sort of has that look to him. Like, he looks like he would own the New England Patriots. But on the flip side, like, look, the other day, Meek Mill was talking about how Robert Kraft came to see him in prison, and Robert Kraft actually wrote to the judge repeatedly, and he didn't even know him. And Kraft actually, like, you know, tried to get him out of jail, and that Robert Kraft is actually trying to influence, you know, Trump and Kushner in the prison reform. That a lot of people actually like Robert Kraft, you know, that they're like, no, he's actually, you know, he's actually a good guy behind the scenes. So I think a lot of people, yeah, exactly. I think, well, I don't know. I mean, at the same point in time, Donald Trump's one of his best friends, right?
Yeah.
So there's sort of a there's a dichotomy there. But like I said, it seems like people generally, players and people that beat him, other people like him. So I think people will back off. All right, Game Time Decision continues.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Bye, gang, if you can. Game Time Decisions, Red Heat Rage Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm Gabriel Moretzi. We're here with Mike Blewett and Cam Stewart. So Robert Kraft is the story of the day, and it goes to show just what a slow sports weekend it actually is.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I knew, you know, I was concerned coming out of the Super Bowl. I sort of knew it. I'm like, man, eventually there's going to be nothing. Like, it's just one of those. But we got lucky. The NBA was busy. The Alliance League started. There was just sort of one thing after another. But, that, you know, we're moving on 3 weeks. We're moving into a month now. And reality is starting to kick in. This is the lull before March Madness. March Madness will come and save us all. But, we're officially in the dog days of the sports calendar.
We are. Right
now. And by the way.
March Madness, baseball, Masters. Yeah. It's going to be a beautiful time coming up, buddy. Beautiful times.
But the number one event that could have happened during that period of time actually got worse. We started talking about Zion Shue instead of a potential Duke UNC Slugfest. That was like the one sporting event I was really looking forward to, and it was over 30 seconds in.
Yeah, he'll be all right.
I'm the jerk, Mike. I said I got Virginia futures. I'm like, I need something bad to happen to Duke. Gabe blames me.
Cam actually said before the game, we need something bad to happen to Duke so Virginia can win the title somehow. And alone,
a buddy of mine's stepson is on UVA, so I hope they do well.
Oh, yeah, good. I think they will. I think they should, but
I don't know if they're going to win. They'll go deep, but I'm not sure if they're going to win.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Their defense is locked down. Their offense, they have problems.
Much better this year than last year, though.
That's true. That's true. And they got that clutch player.
I'm coming into everything. I'm coming into everything. And I know we got Big Cat. Hang in there, Big Cat. We'll get to you. Blue, it's going to be we got a couple more minutes left with Blue, and we'll get to the phone lines. But I don't know, like, why my confidence is so shaken right now. But pretty much every league I look at, I'm like, oh, I don't know, man. Like, you know what I mean? It's wide open. Anyone can win. I guess just because I'm older and wiser, and I know there's no such thing as a freaking lock, right? Besides Tom Brady and the Patriots winning a Super Bowl every 2 years, it seems, right now. But I was talking about this from the NHL perspective earlier. I'm like, yeah, I like that team. This team could win. That team could win. And college basketball as well. College basketball as well, Mike. I mean, it's hard to really, like Duke are really good, and they've got three guys going to be taken high in the NBA draft and all that. But that doesn't mean they're going to win the national title.
No.
Right? Yeah, there's no guarantee they're going to win the title. And, you know, Gonzaga, all right. Gonzaga could win. They never have. Are they? Well, I don't know. Maybe. Virginia right there. Like, if you actually look at the – I don't really love any of these teams, but – you know, one of these teams is going to end up cutting down the nets when it's all said and done.
Yeah, and we'll just, you and I will reset, as will Cam, at the beginning of the tournament. We'll go through your formula that we looked at last year. We'll find our six or seven teams that tick off all those seven boxes about.
Oh, it's Mark. Mark Lawrence. The Mark Lawrence playbook database Lawrence formula.
That's right.
I can't take credit for it, but I'm smart enough to
write. Great recipe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Actually, though, it's been 20 of the last 22 years, with the only exceptions are UConn twice.
Yeah.
They're the only ones, essentially, that have broken that algorithm.
And Nova rang that bell last year, so which I watched in person. It demolished the entire Final Four. So I think that's all you can do. That tournament can be such a crapshoot, but at the funny part about it is, as much as we like the upsets and everything else, really, there's only a few teams that can win, and it's usually the relatively elite teams.
Gonzaga came out with the number one ranking today. Me and Hank talked about it, Mike. These guys got to join either the Mountain West or the Pac-12. They can't play in that conference anymore with San Diego at the Jenny Craig Center, San Francisco Dons, Loyola Marymount. Like, give me a break, man. Like, they have to change over for basketball. It's out of control. They're 30-point favorites against these teams.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's probably, I mean, how, give me the context in which you're putting it though, Cam. Are you saying that it's doing them a disservice during the course of the regular season and they're not ready for prime time? I mean, they did make it to
Correct.
The finals, or
they
a few years ago.
But it's the significant difference in competition, even between the Mountain West and the big, like it's like night and day. These other schools are like, they play in high school gyms. Gonzaga is the number one team ranked in the NCAA after today. That's their voted number one with the injury.
When they play real teams, they beat them. So I don't think the level of competition is holding them back. But
the consistent other teams have to deal with. They have to deal with real teams. Like, they get nothing.
Yeah, but I don't think they should be playing the teams that they do either. But I don't think they should be playing the teams because of commercial and monetary purposes. I think they're leaving a lot of freaking money on the table. That's my deal.
That's another good point.
You know, you're not maximizing your TV rights. You're not maximizing your brand name as much as you could be. Like, Gonzaga could be a bigger force, and it would help recruiting even more if they played in higher profile games, because they could play with anybody on any nightly basis. But they're not they're on TV, but people get bored with it, right? You know, if you see their minus 18-point favorites every night, or you see, all right, well, wow, they're playing the San Diego Toreros, or they're playing Loyola Marymount.
Yeah.
You know, if you're like, ooh, look, they're playing against Oregon. Oh, look, they're playing against UCLA. You know, they're just, to me, or, you know, even in the Mountain West, they're just leaving, you know, they're leaving money on the table. Now, the recipe is you got to score more than 73 points a game. And it's interesting, Gonzaga is actually the highest scoring team in college basketball. They're scoring 90.7 points per game. North Carolina are right there, actually, at 87. Now, you don't have to be the highest scoring team. You just have to score more than 73 points a game.
Right.
And unfortunately, I don't see my Michigan Wolverines on that list right now.
Struggling.
They have time to make it up.
Or I don't see Virginia on that list either. Gone. Now, there's a lot of bad teams that score a lot of points, but there's sort of a core, you know, there's a method to the madness when it's all said and done. Gonzaga, this could be their year. They legitimately are. I would say that this is their chance, one of their best chances that they've had. And it's funny because I'm not even going to say this is the best Gonzaga team, but that's how it works, Mike, as you know.
Yeah,
right? It's all about timing. You might have a great team, but your bracket sucked. And who you – oh, God, you have to play these guys and those guys. It's all timing, this stuff. It might be Mark Few's year. They've already shown they can beat Duke. They beat them, right? So they're not going to be intimidated by Duke. They can handle the big stage. They can handle the moment. Gonzaga are definitely in the mix. And I'll tell you, I wouldn't discount North Carolina either going on a pretty deep run. They play good defense. They can score. They've got all the tools.
To your point about UVA, I mean, UVA, North Carolina, and Duke have combined in the ACC to go 22-0 on the road. Those three teams have pounded the rest of the ACC into submission this year in a way that is unusual even for those teams. They usually will get challenged at points during the conference season. It has not really happened this year. I think overall they're coming in at around, they've won a few dozen games and only dropped a couple. 22-0 on the road says all you need to. Even with the Zion injury, even with UVA maybe not putting up as many points as they should. And that's a conference, by the way, that is going to put 8 or 9 teams in the tournament. So,
yeah, they only gave up 54.5 points per game, which is very incredible, as you stated, like considering the teams that they play against.
Right.
Texas Tech gave up 57.3. Virginia have the best defense in college basketball, 54 points a game. Michigan's right there, 58.4 points a game. And, you know, teams like Virginia and Michigan, Cam, you can go on a run because it's difficult to score on them. And, you know, defense travels. It's hard for other teams if they're not used to playing against a team like that. But at the same point in time, it's also hard to win 6 games in a row if you're only scoring 62 points. You're only putting up 60.
I agree. I totally
and
agree.
And the problem, it's a great point. And the problem is, Gabe, you know, there's that one team. What do they rely on in college? 3Ds. In one of those games, and 1 out of 6 times, it's going to happen where some team gets hot and you're in big, big trouble if your offense can. Because that's what happens every tournament. There's always that team that just lights it up, and that's why I worry about Virginia. I know they're amazing, but if they get down in a game, I really worry about their style and comeback fashion to come back. It's not going to happen.
It happened to them in shocking fashion last year against UMBC, but more to your point, you're not going to just blow through the entire tournament. Like Villanova 3 years ago blew through the entire tournament. They're blowing teams out, including Oklahoma. It gets down to the finals, and they have a tight game against North Carolina. They hit the game-winning shot. But realistically, teams aren't going to run over their 6 opponents on the way to the title. You're going to be involved in a tight game. And in those tight
– Mike.
Yeah.
Any sport – any championship, any playoff run, you need luck.
Yeah.
It's all circumstances, right? Everything sort of falls into place. You know, the Patriots got lucky with the calls. You know, teams will get lucky with other teams getting knocked out. I remember the Montreal Canadiens won the Stanley Cup in 1993. They never would have won the cup. They weren't even that good. You know, they had a good goalie. But everyone kept getting upset around them. They were supposed to play the Pittsburgh Penguins and Mario Lemieux, who are the best team, but somehow the Islanders, remember, can't beat the Penguins. So the Canadians were like,
awesome.
All right, well, we could beat the Islanders. They beat the Islanders. They were supposed to play the Toronto Maple Leafs, who probably would have beaten them in the final.
Well,
instead, they got the LA Kings.
Exactly.
They won. In those days, I think it was a best of 5 in the first round. didn't they beat the Buffalo Sabres like three games in a row in overtime? Like they literally like swept the team, but they won every game in overtime. Like, you know, like luck comes into play in this stuff.
Yeah, and Virginia playing tight games all throughout a tournament, to your point, luck's just going to go against them during one of those games, which is why it was important that they added some scoring. Have they added enough? I think that remains to be seen. To use a hockey term, to use a hockey example, George Kurtz, whom I did the show with on Saturday morning, FST, he was talking about last year, the Washington Capitals were down 2-0 to the Columbus Blue Jackets, and in game three, the Blue Jackets hit a post in overtime. If that's an inch to the left or right, they're down 3-0, and the Caps aren't getting out of that. They're just not.
No.
And it turned around, and they certainly overcame huge demons on their front.
As I stated,
that's very true.
You look at any championship.
Great point.
Even the Patriots. Even the Patriots. You know, I mean, that game was close to being 10-10. You know what I mean? It was close all game.
Yeah.
And
what about D. Ford's offside?
That's the game. If Jared Goff doesn't
underthrow, it's a pick. Even in the championship,
if Jared Goff doesn't underthrow the, if Jared Goff doesn't underthrow the pass there, the game's tied 10-10. There's like 5-6 minutes left, in the Super Bowl. It always comes down to a play. You need luck. You need to put yourself in a position though to be lucky, and then you need everything to fall into place. That's why, you know, when you get into this 6-game tournament, it is like the seeding in the bracket is pretty critical, and they don't admit it, but they pretty much script this stuff. You know, like Cinderella's never win the NCAA tournament. It just doesn't happen. UConn have done it a couple of times. They're not even real pure Cinderellas, but they'll create a path for sort of a mid-major to get to the Final Four, to get to the Elite Eight. So there'll be a couple of these smaller schools every year. There'll be a few of them that get there, but they'll hit the wall. Mike Lewis.
And is everybody out on Tennessee? Seems like they are already.
I never really bought into them, to be honest. But
me neither.
I think I've been underestimated a little bit. All right, hang in here, Mike. We got 3 minutes left. We'll let Mike say goodbye in a second.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Just talking about Tennessee basketball. Tennessee contacts the SEC about a referee who repped their game. Tennessee woo-boo-hoo didn't like a call that they got late in a game. And they found a picture of the referee. Basically, somebody found a picture of this referee in 2014 holding up. He's holding up an LSU Tigers shirt for a picture. Now, and he actually says, go Tigers. Strolling through D-Town Granada, doing a little sightseeing. Look what I saw to all my Bama's go Tigers. So it's 2014, this referee. The referee's been in the league. He's been officiating in the SEC for 19 years. So, you know, I don't want to get to the point where... Yeah, I don't want to get to the point every time there's a missed call that there's a vast conspiracy behind it. But the referee shouldn't be pimping up Go Tiger posts from 2014 on Instagram.
It's a bad look.
I agree.
For sure.
I agree. But it was a foul. It's bad. I was watching that game live. It was a foul.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Oh, but, you know, exactly. You know, another thing is, too, I think people are surprised. Like, think about it, guys. People are like, oh, you know, he used to be a fan of this team. So wouldn't it sort of be logical that a guy who dedicates his life to refereeing sports would have been a sports fan?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he didn't drop in from being
it's like saying that a cop
being a traffic cop.
Yeah, no, but it's like saying a cop watches a mob movie, so he must be crooked to be working with the mob because he likes the movie Goodfellas.
That's a good analogy. I like that one.
I like it.
Yeah, like, yeah, all right. So, yeah, he used to.
He has an interest. I mean, like, it's an interest.
Yeah, no, exactly. So is that one of the things? No, I've never liked a team ever. Like, yeah, exactly. You're going to start getting refs that never watched a sport before. That's the thing. If you ever, you know, it's sort of like when you get a jury. I've always thought that's funny, too. So, like, you know, they have high-profile cases, and they bring the juror in, and they're like, do you know anything about this case?
Yeah.
And you got to say no, because if you do, then you're disqualified. But
how do they not know?
It's like undecided voters. They're stupid. Right. You know what I mean? Like, if after
the
4 years...
The last people I want making a big decision.
Yeah, exactly. But, well, I don't know, on one hand, and then I don't know on the other. It's like, God, these are the people that are making the final call here.
I've had my head in the sand for a decade, so only to decide a big case.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Cam Stewart with your Fantasy Sports News Update. New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft visited the day spa to solicit prostitutes not once but twice before the AFC Championship game versus Kansas City. He was charged with two counts of soliciting prostitution in Florida on Friday and was seen on undercover cameras just hours before the game in KC that he made to on time. He's been named with another 24 men charged with the misdemeanor. A conviction stipulates a mandatory 100 hours of community service, a $5,000 fine, and a mandatory class on the dangers of human trafficking. Okay. Wow, the 77-year-old's court date set for April 24th, and the NFL said in a statement today, a full understanding of the facts while not interfering with the ongoing investigation is happening. Kyler Murray beefing up before the NFL Combine. Reports indicated Murray now listed at 206 pounds. He played for Oklahoma at 190 pounds of winning the Heisman Trophy. The 5'10 quarterback is viewed as slight compared to other quarterbacks like Russell Wilson. And I got to be honest, Gabe, 5'10 seems generous. We thought he was 5'9". Now, they say he's wearing it pretty well. Teams want to see if he can put on a little bit of beef and extra bulk, and so far it's good. And as we know, he gave up baseball to pursue football. We'll see what happens with Murray. But no quarterback under 6 feet has been taken in the first round. That's going to change because this guy might go early. Just minutes ago, the Raiders striking a deal to play their 2019 season in Oakland. The deal reportedly includes a team option that will allow them to stay in Oakland for the 2020 season if their stadium in Las Vegas isn't ready, but it will be ready. The NFL also today will consider reining in group celebrations. They said, hey, players on the field can do what they want. They're just not fans of players coming in from the sideline to join celebrations. The Baltimore Ravens releasing veteran receiver Michael Crabtree have the mighty have fallen. He signed a 3-year, $21 million deal last offseason. The team saves $4.6 million in cap space by cutting the 31-year-old. He had 54 catches for 607 yards and 3 touchdowns. Hockey, big names moving today. The Golden Knights of Vegas, yeah, they acquired Mark Stone from Ottawa. Big move for them. He also agreed to an extension with the Vegas Golden Knights. And the Sens get back Eric Branson, a very highly rated defenseman, one of the best prospects in hockey. Stone, 62 points in 59 games. The Predators picking up Wayne Simmonds from the Flyers for Ryan Hartman and a fourth rounder. Minnesota dealing Michael Granlund to Nashville for Kevin Fiala. And the Jets picking up New York Rangers forward Kevin Hayes today. So big news going down there. Carl Anthony Towns says he's happy to be alive after a scary car accident on Friday. Lucky to only have minor injuries after the guy was rear-ended in his SUV by a semi while on his way to the airport. The 23-year-old two-time All-Star has been cleared to play for the Wolves tonight after missing the last two games due to concussion protocol. He never missed an NBA game prior to this car accident. NBA lines tonight. We got a busy Portland 9.5 at Cleveland, 225. Indiana and Detroit Pistons, 213. Golden State -8 on the road in Charlotte, 232.5. Phoenix and Miami Heat 8.5, 215.5. San Antonio at Brooklyn. The Nets are -2, 234. Philly -1 at New Orleans, 240. Milwaukee 7.5-point favorites at the Bulls, 226.5. Atlanta and Houston Rockets 12, 234. Sacramento taking on those T-Wolves tonight. Total Minnesota is 3-point favorites.
favorites, 237. Lakers, -5.5 at Memphis, total 222. And Dallas at the Clippers, LA, -4.5, 228. NCAA top 25 action tonight. Notre Dame at 16, Florida State. The Seminoles, 11-point favorites, 140 is your over-under. Oklahoma at number 19, Iowa State. Cyclones, -8, 144 is your over-under. And the Battle of Kansas tonight, number 23, K-State takes on KU. And the Jayhawks, -4.5, 133. Already, Duke star Zion Williamson will be out for tomorrow's game against the Virginia Tech Hokies. The Yankees, they've signed outfielder Aaron Hicks to a 7-year, $70 million extension. The 29-year-old hit 27 homers and 79 RBI last year. And the Dodgers still in the mix for Bryce Harper there. Apparently, it's a short-term offer, and he wants a long-term deal. Harper already turning down deals of over $300 million. Troy Tulowitzki, a first at-bat homer against his former team today. The Yankees blanked Toronto 3-0 in Grapefruit Ball this afternoon. Tulo saying that dinger was extra special. Hey, the Mets, they tied Houston 3-3. It's exhibition time. Six-pack in the NHL tonight. Buffalo at Toronto. 260 are the Leafs' as favorites there in that game. 6.5. Montreal and New Jersey, they go at it tonight. Montreal laying 35 cents there. Kings and Tampa Bay, Lightning, -330. Wow, that's a lot of juice. 6 is your total. Edmonton taking on Nashville Predators, -265, 5.5. Florida and Colorado, the Avalanche are a -140 favorite, total 6.5. Late action, Anaheim at Vancouver, Canucks 140, 5.5. Ricky Sanders is going to join us later at the DFS Hour at 6. Congratulations, Ricky. He won $50,000 for placing second in an NBA contest. This guy's the best in the business, so stick around. So is Gabe. He's hosting the show. It's Red Heat Rage. We got more sports talk coming up next.
Game time decisions.
Good job, Yank. Level 2. Ready for Rage Radio, Game Time Decision, Fantasy Sports on Radio Network. Gabe Morenci, you just heard Cam Stewart throwing it down. I like the Vegas Golden Knights. They got a good Twitter account, actually, Vegas Golden Knights. They just tweeted they out, do. We got stoned. See, the Montreal Canadiens wouldn't do that.
No, they would not. We have picked up Mark Stone.
Acquired
very
Mark
happy
Stone
to have
right there.
He's a very good player.
Like, if that's something like I would say, I'd come on there, hey, the Canadiens got Stone. Oh, they'd be mad. They'd have to call, hey, you tell like Gabby to stop saying we got stoned. Otherwise, we take away his press pass again. We've already done it before. We will do it again.
That's the way they are.
You know, Vegas, they're a little looser. They're having a little fun. You know what I mean? A little fun in Vegas. As I stated, I wouldn't discount the Vegas Golden Knights moving forward in the playoffs. I don't know if they've got another Stanley Cup run in them, but you know they'll probably win a series or two. I don't think they'll get bounced in the first round or anything like that.
No, God, no. No, and that's the thing. I'm actually surprised, though. Like, they work for Fleury really, really hard. They've had problems with their backup tenders this year. Morenci, I thought they might go out. Me and Kurtz talked about it on the weekend. Maybe going after a Cam Ward or somebody like that for, like, nothing that a team would want to get rid
could've
of.
Could have got
just
Keith
a veteran
Kincaid.
Guy, but, yeah, could have got Kincaid. But, yeah, they're going to ride
sarcastic.
It out with Lagacy and Subban. Well, I can tell you, Keith Kincaid is better than the second and third string goalie they got, but... You know, Vegas is also better defensively than New Jersey. So, but Schneider's playing well. That's why they told Kincaid to hit the bricks. They believe in Corey Schneider, who's starting to play a lot better.
The pig and parrot is going to be a little bit broker right now with Kincaid.
Oh yeah,
on.
Yeah, that's
out,
right.
Out of
Kincaid
the Hoboken area,
monies. The community monies will be lessened. Yeah, you got to love those hockey guys. They love
the
they
bartenders
love to throw them
and
back.
Waitresses. Are like, ah, oh, Kincaid got traded. Oh,
could you just get rid of somebody? Yeah, that's right. Kincaid was our top customer.
Yeah, you want to trade the healthy guys that never go out. You know what I mean? Like
that's exactly.
Your local bartender. It's like, oh God. Not Kincaid. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, like Nico Hischier or somebody like that. Oh, he's a good player. Yeah, like some guy who's not pissing vodka away. Yeah, that's tough, Morenci. You said that. Serpico said those Devils like to keep the local businesses alive. But, yeah, Kincaid, he'll be spending somewhere else.
I'm sure he'll find a watering hole in Columbus somewhere.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Some Buckeye Bar?
Yeah, he'll find. Yeah, he'll find He'll find a watering hole. Oh, what's this I see here? Dan Patrick Show, no longer on NBC Sports. We are grateful to televise Dan Patrick for the last 6 years. We want to retain it. However, we are unable to come to renewal terms. No longer air the show starting... Wow, so that means, what is he?
Radio only?
Out on, where, no, is he out on NBC football now?
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, Canadian Time Decisions, Red and Rage on radio, Fantasy Sports on radio network. I'm Jim Moretzi. Cam Stewart throwing it down as well as you've heard in keeping us up to date. We appreciate the patience of those of you on hold. As we were stating earlier, it's, you know, we're waiting for Bryce Harper. There's a lot of stuff like that's around the corner right now.
Simmering.
Yeah, like you got Bryce Harper. He's got to sign in the next couple of days. Like eventually, I mean, the season's around the corner. Spring training's has begun. Exhibition season has begun. So the Bryce Harper deal, yeah, that'll be all right to talk about for an hour or two. But nobody will really care that he's the richest guy in the world suddenly. So the football combine at the end of the weekend, that'll start. That'll be something
that'll
to kick
fun.
The tires on. There's props for the combine and stuff. There'll be more props released. There's already a couple of props that have been released right now. There's one Kyler Murray. Is he going to be over under 5'10"? He'll be under 5'10". It's actually only minus 450, which seems like a big number, but he's not 5'10", right? Like, he's not. He's 5'9", 5'9 and a half. He's not going to be 5'10", so that's almost free money at minus 450. Funny story last night, actually, and I really don't care about the Oscars, even from, like, a betting perspective. Like, I don't really bet it, and I'm not going to say I never have, but I didn't watch 1 second of it last night. But I hear the story about how people were convinced that somebody leaked something. About who was going to win one of the awards last night. I guess a lot of people hammered it, and it didn't win. They fell for it.
That's what you get.
Yeah.
It's the old WWE trick, Gabe. The shell game. Hey, I got a guarantee. I know you don't. Bye-bye. That's happened
that
before,
WWE
too, with
guy
with the WrestleMania.
No, but a WWE guy freaking murdered it, except he did it. He was killing it, and people were crushing it, dude. One guy won like a $42,000 parlay. One book actually was accepting WrestleMania parlays. I don't know who it was. It was obviously somebody on the inside of the WWE. But you're right. Vince got wind. They finally got wind of it, and they switched everything.
Oh, that's
up, right?
What I'm talking about. Exactly.
They caught on. But it was like four or five pay-per-views in a row, dude, that this guy on Reddit was like 8-0 type thing. And he even called it. He was like, it's going to end like this. It'll end like that. It'll end like this. And he was just nailing it. And it kind of flew under the radar. But eventually enough people hop on the wagon and start betting it. And then the sports book started to panic. But... hey, I'll bet on WrestleMania. I mean,
well, for sure.
You know, you're just betting on what the angle's going to end up being, right? Sort of like an SEC basketball game. All right, let's bring in. Do we have Big Cat here, Yang?
Hello,
what's up?
Hey
Big
guys,
Cat?
How's it going today? How's it going, boys?
Hey Big
Good
Cat,
stuff.
How you doing?
Good. I just wanted to touch base with Gabe here, just being at the Raptor game the other night. What sense did you get from the team? They barely beat San Antonio, and then last night they come out flat against Orlando, basically as a double-digit favorite.
Bet against them.
I think money. They're yeah, listen, I don't even remember when the last time they covered a damn point spread was. I'm not even just saying that. Like, they never cover anymore. They don't blow anybody out. They look tired to me, to be honest. They played pretty hard on a nightly basis. They seem a little worn out. Let's be real. They're only going to go as far as Kyle Lowry can take them in the playoffs. I mean, you have Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard's going to carry them, but Kyle Lowry needs to hit shots. And, you know, I have my concerns about that. I'm not overly panicked that they're not the one seed. You know, Milwaukee's a young team. They're fired up. They're enthusiastic. They're on this run. They're sort of like the Raptors were last year. And we saw being the one seed isn't the be-all, end-all. But I have my concerns about the Raptors. I'm not going to lie, Big Cat. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh, they're a lock to win the East. They're not. They're not. It's going to be a freaking battle, man. It's going to be a battle whether they play Philadelphia, Boston, or Milwaukee. It won't be easy for them. So, you know, I think Kawhi Leonard's going to raise it up a notch, though. Like, he's going to raise it up a new notch, even. I mean, the guy's been the MVP of the finals before. He carried the Spurs to a championship before. You know, he has another level that we haven't even seen yet that he's going to roll out here. But I have my concerns, Cam. I don't know about you, but there's no automatic that I'm like, the Raptors are going to win the East.
No, I have big concerns, and you said it. These guys, best bet in basketball. Gabe and I even talked about it. With Babano, too, we all went out there. Just they don't cover. They might win a game. Even the game we went to, they barely won because of Leonard against San Antonio. They didn't cover a big number there. They lose outright to Orlando. It's just they're kind of going through the season, Big Cat, and kind of probably waiting for the playoffs, but be very careful. Like right now, I just fade these guys till they start to show they can
big beat game
people
tomorrow.
Down. They can't.
They're playing the Boston Celtics tomorrow, so they're -4 against the visiting Boston Celtics. So they'll probably win by 2.
Yeah, exactly.
What's that, Yang?
Big Cat was cut off, so he's back.
All right. So as I was saying, the Raptors laying 4 tomorrow. I'm not in a hurry to lay it. They probably beat Boston. The Raptors get up for big games. They're very good at home. I mean, we're all critical of the Raptors. They are 25-6 at home. They're 44-17 on the season.
Yep.
But they don't have that killer instinct. But, you know, they're somewhat of an older team, though.
Just a quick question on Troy Tulowitzki hitting his top home run of basically decade today, saying that it was the sweetest home run he ever hit. What kind of read do you get off him when he was with the Jays? Was he a leader and a well-liked guy in the dressing room?
God, no. No, Troy Tulowitzki will, I guess he's happy to get out of there. The guy played hurt, too, so we got to understand that. And I'll tell you one thing. If he's healthy for the Yankees, they pay nothing for him. He'll be an absolute steal. But I will make you a prediction, Big Cat. He won't get through the season. He'll find a way to get hurt.
Yeah, but he's an injury pro player, but he's not an unlikable guy or anything like that. Troy Tulowitzki is actually a really cool dude. Tulowitzki lives in Vegas and he bets on football. He's like, he goes to the casino all the time. He talks to people. He's friendly and stuff. The dude's a gamer. I mean, he's hurt all the time, but he's not like, he's not like unlikable. It's not like he's a bad teammate.
No, I never said that, Gabe. I'm just saying there were times that he could have come back where I don't really think he just, you know what I mean? It was because it was Toronto.
No, he's injured. I think the Yankees were crazy to sign him. No, he's, what do you mean, minor injuries? The guy's like, he could barely stand, Cam, this guy. He's falling apart. He's done. Like, it's not like he's a diva or something. He's broken down, the guy.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you one thing. How's it, so the Jays organization with that trade with Colorado? Then, like, I look at that. I look at them and the management. What the hell are you doing then? When you know you're talking about a veteran guy like that who's always broken down. Like, I don't know, man. I got a lot of issues now, but we'll see.
But that has nothing to do with Troy Tulowitzki being like.
No, I'm just telling you, man. I thought Troy Tulowitzki at points could have played where he didn't play. I get that he's hurt all the time, but it's kind of like there was kind of like situations. It's like, dude, like you can play, but I don't think he will. Like, what? You're right. He probably will get hurt for the Yankees. You watch him stay healthy. Like, who knows, man? Like, I'm just saying, he was just a huge, huge disappointment since he got called up with the team. So that's just my take.
Yeah, but
I expected a hell of a lot more.
Yeah, I know, but it doesn't make him a bad guy, though.
No, I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I don't care.
Because the Jays got fleeced on a deal.
I hope he's
the thing is, too, but he was injured in Colorado at that point. That's why they let him go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's damaged goods. And look, that's why he's saying he's all defensive. You know, when everyone says you're done, it motivates you. But I just think he is
hit
done.
A home run.
Yeah, it's spring training.
Just a quick three-game parlay before I let you guys go here. Tonight in the NBA, Chicago plus 8.5 against Milwaukee. They played them about a month or so ago. They actually had the lead but gave up a late run where they didn't cover. And in college tonight, Lipscomb minus 15. Tie that in with Prairie View A&M minus 9. Have a great day, guys.
Wow. Digging through the barrel there with Lipscomb. Yeah, Lipscomb.
Be careful with the Bulls here tonight. They've got a couple of guys going to be out this evening. Especially, we'll keep our eye on Otto Porter. We'll dig down deeper and find this. Look, he played 131 games for the Jays in 2016.
More statistics in 2016. What'd he do?
He hit 254.
Jack shit. That's
what 24 home runs. He was part of that little magical run.
Yeah, he didn't play that.
Yeah, but dude, hit the stats on the other side.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Game time decisions, Red Heat Rage, a radio fantasy sports radio network continues. And me and Cameron just talking about Troy Tulowitzki. And yeah, listen, he shouldn't have mouthed off. I didn't see his comments after the game about, ooh, the team that didn't believe me and all. I saw that, though, they didn't believe in him and stuff, but it's easy not to believe in him when he only played.
Not to believe in me? Not to believe in me. Gabe, just to my point, the Blue Jays, they owe him $20 million in 2019, $14 million in 2020.
Yeah, but that's their fault.
He was. That's just idiotic.
That's not his fault. Wow. That's their fault. Like, why do you think the Colorado Rockies traded him? I mean, he was a popular player in Colorado, and they let him go.
Yes, he was.
In 2012, he played 47 games. In 2013, he played 126 games. In 2014, he played in 91 games. In 2015, he played in 87 games. So essentially, in 4 years with the Rockies, he played more than 91 games once.
Yep.
They basically said, this guy can't stay on the field. You know what I mean? Like, he's done. And, that's why they let him go. He went to the Jays. They had that little adrenaline because of the chase and everything. It was really Donaldson that carried them. Yep. More than Tulowitzki.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
But he's a gamer when he's on the field, right? But, I mean, look, he's been playing a while, Cam. Look, his rookie year was 2006. It's 2019.
Oh, great play.
You know what I mean? Bodies break down. He's just not the same player. And, if you're a Yankee fan tuning in, I wouldn't expect much from this guy this year. He's going to get hurt.
Yeah, another thing is it's actually a perfect situation because of the Yankees' depth. He won't have to play as much. It's going to be beautiful. He could save his body and actually become a clutch hitter. Like, the Blue Jays spent all this money on him, basically screwed themselves for years because of his contract, whereas the Yankees, brilliant move by them. They bring him in. They don't have to play him all the time. They can bring him off the bench, Gabe, and do things like what he did today. But, yeah, he shouldn't get a lip off to the organization. You made a hell of a lot of money and did really nothing, but the Yankees will gain. It's actually going to be it's a win-win for them because the Jays are still on the hook for so much money. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. They're on the hook. And he's actually running his mouth after the fact. So
yes, he is. They never gave you any money. Yeah, I think it is. It's totally clear, but whatever. Yeah, you're right.
Well, the thing is,
the brass should have done their due diligence and softball. You know, when you go to a doctor, sometimes you get a second or third opinion. Well, you should have known that the guy played a lot of games in Colorado, and then he was broken down and basically, took the team. They gave him the contract. You're absolutely right about that. He made a shitload of money.
Josh Donaldson wasn't 100% healthy either. Listen, Alex Anthopoulos was aggressive and had some success, but he was also pretty reckless as well.
Yes, he was. I agree. That's my point.
Realistic.
He gets all the credit.
But you can't blame the players for that. You blame the general manager.
No, I don't. I do.
Omar Minaya did the same thing in Montreal where Omar Minaya knew he wasn't going to be with the Expos in the future. He knew he wasn't going to Washington. Like, right? And he figured, well, whatever. I'm not even going to be here. So let me just start trading. Let me start trading this prospect and this prospect. And I'll get Bartolo Colon. Yeah, he gave up like four future major leaguers to get Bartolo Colon. And basically on a rental, like basically to win now. And you look, Alex Anthopoulos sort of operated in the same way, right? Like he never really thought of the future too much. It was really like, how do we get better like today, right now? Except, dude, the Jays have the money to do that. They could have operated in his world, but Anthopoulos sort of needs to throw money around to be successful and do deals like this. And you paid the price. But I vividly remember, Cam, at the time when Tulowitzki went to Toronto and yep. Jays fans are doing cartwheels and, oh, this is unbelievable. And they have Donaldson and Tulo and all this. People in the baseball world said the Toronto Blue Jays just got seriously fleeced. Like, you know, it was a real mini rental for Tulowitzki to go on that run. And he was okay at times. Like I said, he's a gamer, right? Like, I think, like, people like him, like, on the field type of thing. But he just wasn't consistent enough. He was hurt all the time. And he makes a lot of money. But, yeah, he'll get hurt with the Yankees for sure. Like, he can run his mouth all he wants. Who cares? And the fact that he says that was the biggest home run that he ever hit in his life, then that's a pretty pathetic way of looking at your career, bro, because you just hit a home run against the Blue Jays in a Cactus League game that nobody gives a shit about. Yeah, nobody cares. Yeah, exactly. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You think people are going to be talking about this 10 years from now? Oh, that home run he hit in spring training.
It's just frustrating. And you bring up the point. It's just, yeah, like management basically, you can say what you want about the new regime that came in from Cleveland, but they've had to clean up a lot of the mess that the old regime has done too. I'm not going to argue that they're like, they have been tight with players and stuff. I do like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is going to be the only main prospect. A lot of the guys, like Baseball American prospectus, are not even very, very good prospects. But what they did, they basically went in there, Gabe, with like an open check and just sign. And after a while, that's right, they did get fleeced. And now you're going to pay the price and you're going to have a bad team for a long period of time. That's what really frustrated me about the whole thing, was you got that close just to let it go away. You needed to have one more kick at the can. You know what I mean? Like, it was kind of like, oh no, we lost Dalton Pompey to the Royals that day. A bad call cost him, which eventually gone to the changed the organization. Instead, it's kind of like, oh, okay, well, you know, we're not going to get there. So now we're just not going to, like, the organization spent so much damn money when they that run. It's almost like you needed to do it. You have to do something for one more year. You can't just quit. Now look at them.
Yeah, they were close. And
they were close.
Listen, that's I would have stayed the course, like, as well, just because they were making so much money. Like, they really didn't have much to lose. Yeah, it was costing them a lot of money. But their problem was, and I don't often look at it from their perspective, trust me. Like, I've ripped the Jason Rogers a lot over the years. All right, we'll be right back. Game Time Decisions.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Game Time Decisions, Red Heat Rage, our radio, Fantasy Sports, our radio network continues. I'm Gabriel Morenci, throwing it down with Cam Stewart. Well, Cam, looks like it's going to be one of these days today. Started out with the crap-ass music on the morning after today.
Yeah, you're trooper, like traveling. Buddy.
Nothing can ever be...
You flew out late last night? I know, I'm with you, man. And I haven't had a weekend like that in a while. Like, it's like... You know, I was sitting there. We had a great time. It was great seeing you, Rockamaniac, Shano, and the gang. Babano came out. It was great, great times on Saturday night. We had some good laughs, made some money watching the games. But, yeah, like, doing it 2 days in a row. And then I'm on with Kurtz in the morning, Morenci. I'm not a young man anymore. It was just like, oh, God, like just so beat down.
That couldn't have been easy.
Do a morning show today. No, it was very difficult. I'm not going to lie to you. And it's, yeah, you're really noticing it now. Like before, it was kind of like, yeah, you know, we could go out and shake it off. And, you know, we've done that Sunday show. But, you know, man, it's like, yeah, it was back to back Jack. So, but it was great seeing you, man. At least we got to go to the Raptor game and they won. Yeah, it would have been nice if you stick around for longer. But duty calls, buddy. Duty calls.
Yeah, Saturday night was a great time at Wild Wing. Thanks to everybody who's tuning in that came down. It was a great, great group of people. Down there, we crushed a bunch of drinks. Watch the hockey games. Yeah, no, it was a fun time on Saturday. It was a perfect spot for it, right? It wasn't like a bar where things were crazy.
I agree. Great point.
You know, it wasn't a boring place.
Right amount of people.
Games on.
No, it was perfect.
Yeah,
it was perfect. You got to do your show. There wasn't a million people. It's like if we went to Real Sports or like you go to one of those bars, you wouldn't be able to do anything. It would have been a nightmare. It was a perfect, nice little neighborhood bar. And, yeah, it was fun. We got to bust the guy in the Montreal Canadiens Kovalev jersey, too, there. It was just a good time all around. I love that guy, Kovalev. He was pissed. He was a real big Canadiens fan, that guy.
Cam was pretty – yeah, Cam – Cam,
I was
Cam
nice
is getting
to
fired
him.
Up.
We were just joking around.
Yeah, that was all good fun. Stute says, who would rather have had Jose Reyes or Troy Tulowitzki? It was basically a big contract swap, and Troy helped in the playoff runs with Reyes wouldn't have had, which there was another big-time player. Like I said, I like what Anthopoulos has, you know, did, but it took him a lot of players and a lot of money. And honestly, you have to ask yourself, look, like Rogers, and I never defend these guys, but he went in there to Tulowitzki and he told them that he's going to re-sign David Price. Would that have been a good decision? Probably not. From a baseball perspective, it would have been good for that year or two, but then you would have been on the hook for David Price for $220 million. That's what it would have been at the time. It's a lot of freaking money, right? Like, you know, you're on the hook now for Tulowitzki. Like if Anthopoulos would have kept on spending, Rogers would be on a hook for $1 billion over the next 10 years. You know what I mean to people? So I think that's what they saw.
Yep.
Yeah, and they were like, "Look at this kid's making a name for himself, right? You know what I mean? He's making a name for himself in the baseball world with our money." Like that's the way they looked at it. Like he's not the one that has to pay this $220 million to this stiff. We're the ones, and they know. Like, look, Tulowitzki plays 41 games. We've got to give this guy $20 million now. Right? Like, and Anthopoulos didn't care because it wasn't his money. He just, he had that attitude.
That's the thing.
But I tell you, Alex Anthopoulos got his start. He's from Montreal, Alex Anthopoulos is just a kid from Montreal. All right? He's not like this baseball, like, genius guru. He worked his way up the Expos ladder. He was basically like an intern with the Expos and, you know, did video stuff. And then when I was there, he was young, but he was sort of Omar Minaya's, like, he was studying, you know what I mean?
Underling.
He was always.
Yeah, understudy.
Yeah, he was always with Omar Minaya, exactly. So when you look, I think he was the video coordinator technically at the time. But if you look, the way Anthopoulos operates, it was very similar to Omar Minaya. And like I said, he sort of had that mentality, yet the Jays weren't going anywhere. So just you're going to piss off a corporate. You can get away with that maybe with an owner that's just, you know, just owns the team. But when you got like a corporation like that, they're going to notice like, oh, shit, this guy, we're on the hook for this guy for 180 and he wants to pay this guy 220 and this. Like they're on the hook for that stuff. They'll notice that. And if you look now, Omar Minaya, where is he right now? Right? Yeah, Omar Minaya is not a general manager anywhere. Right? And why? Because he always operated in that same fashion as well. You know, I'll sign big contracts. Never really, let's just sort of, we'll deal with
he's
the crisis
special,
closest to us.
He's a special assistant to the GM of the New York Mets, but that's not, so he's, you're not calling the shots. You're there. You're in the organization, but you're not doing, like, you're not making the
you want GMs are going to be able to figure things out without just always walking into the next contract. Like, honestly, if you look at all the teams in baseball right now, the Yankees didn't spend. You know, they re-signed. You know, they brought in some relievers. They re-signed a couple of their guys. But the Yankees didn't get stupid in the offseason with Machado and Harper and stuff. The Red Sox didn't. The Dodgers didn't. The Cubs didn't. You know, these teams, they don't. So, you know, it's not just like the Blue Jays or Rodgers. You know, I understand not wanting to be on the hook for, because these contracts are guaranteed. And, you know, you're on the hook for a long time. You know, and honestly, the Jays, they're in a decent spot, Cam, coming up, like, I guess in what, like 2 years from now?
I'd say about three.
Not this year, not next year.
Probably two or three. Like 3 years, I think a lot of those contracts will get off the books. Hopefully, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with Guerrero, but that's something that you need to do.
Well, I'm saying Guerrero is going to be a rookie this year. He'll be a rookie this year. Will he be a phenom? I don't think he'll be a phenom. He'll probably be pretty good. He'll probably crush a lot of home runs. But, like, he's not going to carry the Jays to the playoffs type of thing.
No.
And, you know, then the next year you got more of these young studs. The Jays do have a lot of big-time prospects, like major-type, big-league-type guys. But you're going to need to sprinkle it in with some others. The only thing is, like, the Yankees are relentless, bro. They've got good young players, too, right? Like, the Yankees, they're not just a free agent team anymore. It seems like my point is, like, Anthopoulos sort of operated in that, hey, let's spend money and battle and bring this guy in. And everyone else is going away from that, actually. Everyone's getting into more analytics, cheaper. Mm-hmm. Like, how can we sort of like DFS? How can we get same production for cheaper from someone else, right?
It's an excellent point you bring up. Also, Anthopoulos, we'll get to see what kind of guy he is. So Atlanta's on the cusp, right? And when you talk about divisions, the NL East, the Phillies are going to be a hell of a lot better. They got great pitching. The Mets are better. They can do a lot of their hitting. They got a lot of guys.
Yeah, the Atlanta Braves, though, Cam.
What a season Wheeler had. And no, the Atlanta Braves, it's interesting. Because
off the top of my head, but I'm looking right now. Yeah, they have a bunch of young players, but they signed a lot of weird things in the offseason. Like, look, so Josh Donaldson, there's Alex Anthopoulos.
Yes.
Josh Donaldson's got a bad back, bro. You know what I mean? He makes a lot of money, and he's not healthy, right?
That's what I'm saying.
There was a couple other moves that he made in the offseason that he's going to screw up this young thing by spending money on the wrong players. He'll overpay. Like, basically, it's Anthopoulos. It takes him like three player signings to get one right. You know what I mean? Like, he'll be like, all right, I'm going to get this free agent, this guy. All right, he's hurt. He's all right, well, he's old. All right, I'll get him. Like, it takes him, like, he throws stuff on the wall. And, like, he's not this is a steal. Like, if it's a real estate, he always overpays. You know what I mean? Like, because he's trying to make a name for himself. So he does these splashy moves, but the organization have to deal with these splashy moves a couple of years later when he's gone.
That's exactly it. And that's what I know what, Morenci? Great way of looking at it, and that's the way I feel with the Atlanta Braves. I have a feeling this guy, because I know the guy thinks he's got like an unlimited wallet. It's almost like the rich kid with the plastic card. He'll go out and do whatever he wants, and it's not necessarily the right fits. And sure, I know you have to, but yeah, you said it. He spends, and he spends frivolously. He could still do the things that he wants to get the type of players without going after some of these old guys and big contracts, but he's kind of like an old hockey guy that relies on the same guy. Oh, I knew that guy, you know, years ago. Yeah, he's my type of guy. But you know what? It's not going to work. He has to adapt to the new numbers of baseball, and I don't think it's going to work out well.
You know, I'm looking at a team that I think that actually could actually surprise, but we were talking about the Cincinnati Reds. Their win total is, what, 77.5? Man, these numbers are freaking sharp. There's the problem. Like, you know, the New York Mets win total, 84.5, Cam. Surprised to see it's that high. Like, I was hoping to get, like, the Mets at, like, you know, 78 or something, you know?
Yeah, that's not happening. Very competitive, like, and Philadelphia too. Like, I really like Nola. There's a lot of things I like about that team, but it's competitive. Atlanta can battle. The Mets have a lot of good players on their team too. That is the hardest division, in my opinion, to project. And I don't think it's just going to be before it was just Washington as a guarantee. Not this year, man. Like, I know they still have amazing pitching and stuff, but I'm not sold. We'll see. This team had power outages before with Bryce Harper, and you know, I don't think it's going to come that easy for them.
Problem is, it takes a leap of faith to trust that the New York Mets pitchers ever stay healthy.
Yeah.
Like, if Syndergaard and DeGrom stay healthy, they have a chance.
Wheeler was awesome last year. Like, I couldn't believe how good he was. Like, I was just shocked. That's the thing. Like, if they don't screw up this DeGrom thing, Gabe, and Syndergaard, and they find ways to, like, you know, not go over their innings limit, and they're so effective. And then Wheeler's an absolute stud. It's scary, man. Like, they still got some guys who can rake on that team. Conforto, like, I think the Mets are very interesting. It's hard to
in Robinson
that wins total. True, and the great call. And that wins total, though, it's like bookmakers aren't stupid. They're putting into that number for a reason, because if it was at 79, people would smash the over.
It is a competitive division. A lot of people like the Nationals this year, even with the absence of Bryce Harper. A lot of people think it might be an addition through subtraction, so to speak. But, yeah, if you look... You know, we've got our finding Captain Nemo, of course.
Nemo.
You got Todd Frazier.
Like
you brought in Robinson Cano. But you look at the starting pitching, man. DeGrom, Syndergaard, Wheeler, Mats, Vargas. You know, Wilson Ramos.
Vargas
behind the plate
will go
as well.
They'll do one thing, but like Vargas is at the end of his line there, right? Now you probably got somebody else there, like with one other pitcher, like that rotation, the front three. That's ridiculous how good it is. Like,
yeah, but
like where would Wheeler be? Where would Wheeler be on the jail? Where he'd be like almost their go-to guy. It's nuts, man. Like he'd be the ace. Like you're right. Health is a big concern with the New York Mets. Vargas is an old man, but I think they can stay healthy. We'll see. DeGrom has to work things out, too, in his deal.
As Pete just tweeted in, Anthopoulos walked into the best minor league system. That's the thing. Anthopoulos is with the Braves now, but he didn't put together this Braves team. Like, he didn't draft.
He didn't.
And he's not that guy. Like, Alex Anthopoulos is not a type of guy that's going to tell you, oh, yeah, there's this 14-year-old kid, man, in Caracas right now. No one knows about him. You know what I mean? He's not that guy. He's not, hey, let's bring Josh Donaldson because I know him.
Yeah, that's right. Or he's the type of guy, we'll give him a little bit of credit. When they're close, he can maybe go out and get that veteran guy that he thinks is going to bring them over to the top. But, you know,
he's a big name guy.
He's a big name guy. Spend too much money guy and spend way too much money guy for guys
at the tail end of their career. But it's sort of like fantasy sports. It's like fantasy sports. People that draft and... In fantasy football and whatever, in any fantasy sports, I guess fantasy baseball too, but, you know, anybody can, you know what I mean? Oh, I'm going to take Saquon Barkley. It's who you taking in the fourth rounds, in the fifth rounds. You know, it is about the minor league system still. That's one thing. Baseball, and especially now, baseball is changing. It is much more analytical right now. We're seeing teams don't want to spend as much money as they used to on players. They want to give... smaller terms and years on the contracts. So, in other words, there's going to be a strike and a lockout in 2 years, guaranteed.
Oh, definitely.
They haven't
definitely
had one since 1994, right? It's been a while.
We're already worried about the way this offseason has played out with Harper. This story that's dragging on for another day, it was actually Machado finally taking the deal from the Padres. No, it's insane, Greg.
But it's not just them, Cap. They got their money. Like, Harper's getting his money.
Yeah. Kimbrel's not even signed. Like, it's just interesting. Like, guys don't want to pay for, and when you look at his numbers, they're almost better in every category than the great Mariano Rivera, but he's also an older closer. He's also a guy coming off one of those years and wants a certain amount of money that other teams won't pay for. Like, Alex Anthopoulos is the type of guy, yes, I'll go get Craig Kimbrel. Other guys are like, no way, man. I'm not paying that kind of money for a closer. That's the problem, man, the market. The market with some of these older guys, it's like these GMs just don't want to pay that much, Gabe, and that's why they're not signed.
And with the lockout coming around the corner, there's going to have to be a whole new restructuring of everything. Because listen, if they don't want, and I'm not going to begrudge them. They're getting smarter, the general managers of baseball. Like the dumb general managers, they don't even do it anymore. Like even the Dodgers are with like. Trying, like, it must be hard for them because the Dodgers love throwing money at problems.
They do. I know. They're like, even trying to keep it in your wallet. I know. Don't
even spend. They're, like, resisting. But now they're in talks now with Harper. Like, they're And they should be, actually. They should be able to. But the thing is, there's a lot of money on the table in baseball. So the sport still brings in a lot of revenue because they play so many freaking games, right? So there's a lot of tickets sold. Their TV contracts are still pretty big. So there's a lot of money, and there's no salary cap, which used to be a plus for baseball players. But now there's no salary cap, which means whatever. There's also not that, like, bare minimum type of thing. You know, they have, like, a bare minimum, but it's ridiculously low. So the owners are basically hoarding money right now. That's what's going on. Like, they can say analytics all you want, but that's all right. We're supposed, you know, you guys are getting all this TV money. You're getting all this money. You're not giving it back to the players. There's going to be a severe problem, right? Like, it is a problem. And I'll tell you what, they're not going to start signing players to long-term deals next year either with this collective bargaining when it's coming up. Like, they're on a freaking collision course for a lockout strike. Like, I'd almost say, like, 99.9%. Who was it? Adam Wainwright, the pitcher the other night. He did an interview, and he said, like, 100%. He goes, oh, yeah, there's no doubt. He said, you know, no doubt. You know, J.D. Martinez is talking about how the system is broken. And, you know, Dallas Keuchel is still out there right now. Kimbrel, as you mentioned. Closers, I wouldn't want to pay for a closer either. But you're telling me Dallas Keuchel can't get work? Like, really?
I think there's a lot of teams that there's a lot of teams that should be looking at Keuchel as like a fourth, fifth option and for depth on their teams. I know it's very surprising. Like, that's a guy that you could probably pay a lot less for and make a move for. I'd take a shot for Dallas Keuchel. I agree.
And the thing is, they're waiting them out. That's what they're doing. So they're hoping these guys will just take worse deals. You know what I mean? That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. And the players are going to, and they know this too. That's the thing. They've criticized these guys. You said there's a collision course right now. Players know that the owners don't want to spend the money. They're not getting the money that they used to get before. It's a real problem, man. You said it. 99.9%. Yeah, it's happening. It's happening. Baseball. You just pray it doesn't happen during the year, Morenci. But yeah, baseball, we're going to definitely have a strike.
Yeah, Dallas Keuchel still on the market. Craig Kimbrel still on the market. So they're they're pretty much the two biggest like pitchers right now. But there's a ton of other players, just sort of, you know, other just sort of quality Major League Baseball players just aren't getting aren't getting quality offers right now. Yeah, listen, the system will readjust, but enjoy baseball for the next year or two because they'll probably be shut down for a year. And I think it's the same year the NFL could be shutting down actually.
Yeah, sports are a lot of trouble down the line in a lot of leagues.
NBA will be kicking ass.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Dennis Rodman telling that Joel Embiid to shut up. I didn't see Joel Embiid's comments. I want to see his specific words, actually, about Michael Jordan not being the greatest player of all time. And Dennis Rodman responds, "You're doing a great job for your little island or country or wherever you're from. Shut the F up and go do your goddamn job," says Dennis Rodman to Joel Embiid. So I want to see what Joel Embiid actually said, though, about why he doesn't think Michael Jordan is the best ever. Joel Embiid, Dennis Herman. See, that's the problem, though. Like, that's the problem, like, with the internet. Now everything is just Dennis Rodman. All right, so true. Joel Embiid says Will Chamberlain. I don't know. So he's not saying LeBron James. He's not saying something ridiculous.
Exactly. I don't have a problem with Will Chamberlain. It's his opinion.
Jordan is not the GOAT. To me, you've got Will Chamberlain. He's the one with all the records. No one's ever going to beat him. I don't see anybody ever getting 100 points in a game. That's it. He is the GOAT. It's interesting, actually, that, you know, I also said, listen, Will Chamberlain gets, under-talked about, actually. Under-discussed, I should say. Under-talked about. I'm not sure if that makes sense. Under-discussed when it comes to the, I think, to this conversation. When you look at the crazy numbers and the dominance that he did have on the court. He won championships, he won championships as well. People, you know, they don't really talk about Will Chamberlain too much, but you notice what Embiid stated. He went because he scored 100 points in a game, right? So, like, see, the modern player looks at the stat more than, the overall.
They look at stats rather than championships. Exactly. That's a great point. I got to be honest with you. I don't care. I'd rather have more championships than anything. You want individual stats, that's great. But at the end of the day, I want more rings. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you just look at the Patriots. Rings, 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 rings. Sometimes the guys on their team are not the best of their position. But when they come together in a team, they win. Hey, man, I'd rather have the championship, wouldn't you?
I'll tell you, though, I would have more problem with Joel Embiid if he was like, oh, LeBron's the greatest, and, you know, he's paying respect to yesteryear. I don't really have a problem with it. Yep. I think Dennis Rodman should be the one to shut up.